with our friend Tracy Maxfield, who is in British Columbia. She is our regular correspondent, our Canadian caregiver correspondent, and she is a longtime dementia care specialist. She's a nurse who for more than 35 years has been dealing with dementia patients and understanding the needs. And one of the issues that affects so many people caring for somebody with dementia is that going out into public all of a sudden becomes a real problem. So never forget, the caregivers are isolated. We lose our independence. We become isolated. And if you have somebody with dementia, that's particularly poignant because you're embarrassed. You don't want to take them out, or you're afraid of what they may do. And so everybody becomes even more isolated. So, Tracy, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you here.
Nice to be back.
And we're going to take a few moments here and talk about this, going out in public with somebody who has dementia. Maybe it's to church or to any kind of social, over to a friend's house or whatever. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so basically, I think the thing to remember is that people with dementia are still people at heart. You can't think of the diagnosis. They are still people who have stories to share, and they can still enjoy listening to music, visiting with friends, going to restaurants. What's really important to people when they develop a dementia is to have that sense of connection and to know that people still respect and value them as individuals and see the person, not the person who has a disorder. And I think the challenge with caregivers is that, yes, as you've already mentioned, when they do go out into public places, they do become very uncomfortable. They get a little embarrassed, and that kind of prevents them from leaving the home, which then leads to their isolation more and more. What I usually encourage caregivers to do is there are some basic rules. When you're ready to go out of the house and you want to go to a public place, be it to go out for dinner, over to a friend, let's say you're going to church or going to see a doctor, there's a few things that you should do to help the person with dementia get ready. So the first thing is, obviously, before you leave home, you want to make sure that they use the washroom. If there's any incontinence issues, then obviously put on a clean pad, put on maybe some leak-proof underwear. If there's any medications that they need to be taken, then give them the medications to take before they leave, or take the medications with you. It's really important not to miss any doses. Make sure that they have their mobility aid, their hearing aid, their glasses. You want to pack a little bag which has snack and fluids, maybe a change of clothing. Dress the person for the weather. You don't want them to get too cold. You don't want them to overheat. And always ensure the person with dementia has some form of ID, whether or not it's a special bracelet, wristwatch, or necklace that you can get usually from your local Alzheimer organization, or even make up little mini business cards which you can print from your own computer, which just says their name, please help me, I have dementia, please stay with me and call my wife and or husband, and then have the phone number. And that, I think, will help give you a lot of reassurances that you've taken care of some of the basic safety rules before you leave home. When you get to where you're going, I think the best thing to do is to try and park as close as possible. If you have to leave the car for any reason, lock the doors. Do not leave the key in the ignition. And I think
I do that on a regular basis myself.
And maybe consider taking, you can now rent or even purchase. In Canada, we call them transport wheelchairs. They are very light, foldable wheelchairs that you can use to help transport a person for short distances. And that may be something, if you need to go to the mall, go to a restaurant, or go to church, that just helps, because typically with some types of dementia, falls do become more of a risk as that person advances in the dementia. Having them in a small transport wheelchair will kind of reduce that risk.
I want to pause for that for a second, because you said something at the beginning, and I don't mean to derail your train of thought there, but I wanted to circle back to one thing. You said that they're still a person, and I think sometimes we think that the dementia is a permanent overlay, and it really kind of, for a lot of dementia patients, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong on it, it kind of comes in waves over them. It's not a constant overlay over the person's characters and their personality and so forth. So the dementia can take hold, but there are also times when there's great moments of lucidity. And if you're treating them poorly because of dementia the whole time, you risk really crushing their spirit. Did I understand that correctly?
100%. And I think Mayor Angelou wrote a fantastic statement that lots of people are now apply to people with dementia. And it says that when people with dementia, they may forget who you are and they may forget what you said to them, but they will never forget how you made them feel. And I think that is the most important thing. When you're actually with someone with dementia, you treat them as a person. You value them as an individual. You are respectful. And everyone with dementia has a story. They still can engage you if you're patient and take the time. And I think it's, let's say, for example, that you're going to go with a person with dementia to church. When you're facing any kind of illness, whether it be an emotional, mental type of health disorder or a physical challenge, a terminal illness, lots of people cling to what they hold dear to them, and they find that religion and spirituality is a great source of comfort. And people with dementia and their caregivers still want to reach out and go to their place of worship and celebrate.
I've seen that a lot, Tracy, myself, when I've been at situations in nursing homes and so forth playing, and patients that are staring out the window, you know, looking empty in their faces, when you say the Lord's Prayer, for example, they'll start joining in with you, or favorite hymn or something. And music seems to just penetrate into that fog of dementia. A lot of the hymns that I play, I'll notice for folks that are just, and I've gone to visit them and played in their homes, and they just immediately perk up when they hear a familiar hymn. And I think that is that's something a lot of people don't recognize. But I'm like you. I want to make churches aware of how important it is to make it a welcoming place to somebody, because they, the caregiver and that loved one with dementia, both need to be. What better place to be than in a house of worship?
Absolutely. And I do encourage all caregivers to continue to go to their place of worship, because that will give them a great source of comfort when they feel that they are the only ones out there. They go to church, and when they start visiting with people and maybe talk with the religious leader after, they can develop connections and realize that they are not alone. I think when you take a person with dementia to church, I think the key thing to remember is the words "lost in, first out." So, it's going to be too noisy.
That is a great. I'm writing all these down, by the way, Tracy. Last in, first out.
LIFO.
Yes. So you go when everyone is settled. What I would actually encourage you to do is try to keep a routine. So if you've gone every Sunday and there's a certain seat or an aisle that you go to, the person with dementia will remember that. That is routine. Routine is their safety net. And so try and speak to your religious leader and see if maybe can you reserve those seats.
Well, I'm looking on Facebook Live right now. We're streaming the show, and I'm looking at one of the elders from my church is logged in. At least one of them is listening. And I can promise you that if you go to any of the ushers at our church, and say, hey, look, can we have this chair? It helps settle so-and-so down. Can we have this chair? Can you just kind of block that off for us? I promise you, they will make that happen. That's an important part, because if the routine is interrupted, that's when things kind of come off the rails and caregivers kind of start panicking as well. And so that's a great point. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. And I think also, are there any key people at the church that you know you can rely on to help you? Say, for example, the person that you're with suddenly becomes a little uncomfortable or a little restless, but you're listening to a sermon that has a lot of meaning for you. Is there someone that maybe can help take the person out to the garden, or maybe just go for a quick walk around and keep them company? I think the important thing is that the caregiver still remain connected in the service. And so I think just knowing that there's someone there that can step in and give a little bit of support would be very helpful.
You know, all that takes is a little bit of pre-planning to coordinate that with ushers and so forth at the church, deacons, people that have all kinds of leadership play, and just let them know that this is what you're dealing with. And if the sermon is really rocking along here, and we hope that they always are, but if they're really rocking along, you don't want the caregiver to have to rush out. And if there's somebody there in the church, we heard a great sermon this morning about this very thing. You know, when Jesus was pretty clear what he said, what he's looking for. You know, a lot of people forget this a little bit, but he's looking for sick, naked, hungry, in prison. You know, that's where he is very dialed in on, are we addressing these needs? And we heard a great sermon on that this morning at our church. And so this is part of it. And how much does it cost to be able to coordinate with the caregiver of somebody who has dementia and say, you know what, if things start going dicey, we'll be glad to step up and help take them for a walk or get some water or something like that. And that just takes a little bit of coordination and a lot of love and compassion and grace, the same grace that we ourselves receive. So, Tracy, that's fabulous. Do you mind, because I want to be able to encapsulate this before we have to go to the break. So I want to go through your list again real quick, and I just want to make sure I got everything right, okay? And I'm going to put this on the web. We'll put this out in the blog post and so forth, okay? So before you leave the house, make sure you go to the restroom, get everything done. Make sure you've taken all the medication, take all the aids that you have, like hearing aids or whatever, mobility aids, glasses, some snacks, extra clothes, all that kind of stuff. ID. Always have ID in case something happens and they get separated. Something happens to you as a caregiver, but you've got ID, a bracelet or some kind of card that you can print out with contact information, who it is, what the situation is, so forth, and to help a stranger that may have to come into this place and help you in the event something happens. Park close. Get a wheelchair that's easy to just a transport wheelchair. Doesn't have to be all, you know, fancy or anything else, but something that can help them stay a little bit more settled. And then last in, first out, to avoid crowds. Dementia patients, I can tell you this, they don't do well in a crowd.
No, they don't.
Listen, Tracy, once again, you have just shown why you are the amazing Canadian caregiver correspondent from British Columbia, and we just love you to pieces. Thank you for what you do, and I can't wait to talk to you next month.
Sounds good. Have a good day.
You too, Tracy. We'll see you.
Thank you.
This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. Now you understand why. We cover so many things that are affecting people dealing with this, and we are so glad you're part of it with us. 800-688-9522. If you want to be a part of the show, we'll be right back. As caregivers, we spend an extraordinary amount of time dealing with the healthcare needs of someone we love. But who thinks about ours? Does your healthcare company communicate how important you are, not just as a member, but as an individual? Well, mine does. I discovered MediShare, a vastly different kind of healthcare company. They offer so many services that I was able to consolidate, and so far I'm saving about $300 a month. But there's even more. MediShare is helping me improve my health, and when I reach the target goals, they're going to reward me with even more savings each month. I called them the other day about an item, and the representative noticed my cough and sneezes and asked if she could take a moment just to pray with me. Does your healthcare company do that? Do they really care about you as an individual, as a caregiver? Mine does. Call 855-25-SHARE and discover how spectacular these people are and how committed they are to you. At MediShare, you're not just a member. You're part of a community who wants to care for you. Call them now, 855-25-SHARE. The call is free. The care is priceless.